We're going to turn to Hebrews 5 this morning. That's the book of Hebrews in chapter 5. And last week, we talked about one of the things that's at stake in our society with the nature of a family. And when I was preparing that message, one of the main things that God kept showing me over and over was how we progress to different stages of what our role is in the family. How we started out as babies, needing parents to care for us, how the parents' role is to teach us and show us how to do things in life, not just academics, but actual life lessons. I'll say now for ourselves, whether the law says we can or not, but at the very young ages, my kids have driven vehicles around the property already. I've taught them how to use power tools, things that'll help them as they get older. And it's apparent as we start, as they start reaching a certain maturity level, that they can pick up a few more things to do. Another task, another chore. They start getting trusted in learning how to do something. Sweet little innocent children, and it seems like they were just born though. But you start realizing they're growing up. You start finding out how they're moving on to another stage of life. You start seeing maturity come to them. They're in training to observe what adults do and learn from them. Start walking in it themselves. Part of the family dynamics is growing up and starting to raise kids yourself. Reproduce in more ways than one. Yes, physically reproduce and have children, but it's important to reproduce ourselves as well. Reproduce the values that we believe in. Reproduce the good mannerisms that should be passed on. But at the end of the day, it's up to us to realize that it's indeed time to grow up. We're the only ones that can make that decision. Now we're going to be looking at a couple of passages this morning, and we're looking at more than just the specific verses that we're focusing on, because it's good to see the context around what's being mentioned. Taking verses out of context gets us in trouble sometimes, and I think we'll see that as we go. So we're picking up at the end of Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Continuing on into chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. We're talking about milk and meat this morning. Milk, it serves its purpose. Milk gives plenty of nutrients, but it's important to recognize that we need more than milk. Milk is for a time when we're still maturing, when we're not yet ready for the solid stuff. Now, I like meat. I don't know about you guys, but I like meat. And one of the distinguishing points early in our life is moving from milk to solid foods, moving on to that meat. We grow past the point of the smaller doses of milk. Milk satisfies for a spell, but it is needed quicker and sooner. It doesn't last as long. Think about an infant, a newborn. For ourselves, the girls, it seemed like we were constantly feeding them throughout the night. They didn't really sleep throughout the night. They were constantly hungry. They were usually wanting that milk. And they got the milk, and it satisfied them for a couple of hours. But then after so long, they needed more. They needed another helping of milk. But once they started getting to the solid food, it was lasting longer. It holds out for a little while longer. Keeps going with the nutrients. And it changes the desire to move from the milk to the meat. Many of you guys know we got into hobby farming, and we've been raising cows, chickens, and turkeys for meat for quite a few years now. We recognize just how good it is. Nothing better than meat in our house. Don't get me wrong, I like my greens. Don't cringe, but I like my broccoli. I'm not going to pass up some spinach. And I really enjoy my Brussels sprouts. But there's something about meat that is unlike the rest. There's so many different ways to make it. Confession alert, I picked up a smoker this past year. And I started playing around with that over the summer. And smoked pulled pork, I don't think we have any leftovers at our house with that. I tried cooking a couple of whole chickens. They turned out pretty good. Still haven't brought myself to smoke that brisket yet, but it's coming. But I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm sure it's going to be tasty. But here's what I do know. I know that meat will satisfy. It gives us plenty of nutrients. It's not going to be the empty carbs that burn off quickly. It's going to be what I was needing. You see, the milk we had when we were babies, it served its purpose. It was appropriate for the time. It was what we needed then. But as we mature, as we grow up, it's the meat that provides that main substance. It's the meat that makes us strong. Keeps us going for longer. And just as we have the natural physical milk and meat, there's spiritual milk and meat that we're talking about too. We see the writer of Hebrews write about this at the beginning of chapter 6 there, where he says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection." Remember when we went through the book of 1 John that perfection can be better translated maturity. So let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Part of growing up is moving beyond the things that we were first taught when we were first saved. Now, it's an important part of our faith walk, don't get me wrong. In fact, it's the part of the foundation of our faith. It's the fundamentals that are known. It's the basics that we need to understand before we move on to other things. It's like needing to know the letters of the alphabet before you can start spelling words. It's how we need to know the numbers before we can start doing math. Now, the fundamentals, they have their purpose. But if all we did was stay in kindergarten and keep going through the basics, we would not be maturing into greater tasks and growing up. Staying on the milk, it keeps us at the cross. It keeps us running back to the cross. It gets us stuck in the cycle of sin and forgiveness. It gets us focused on the pattern of sinning and then running back to the foot of the cross and asking for forgiveness. But there's so much more to the life of the believer than that. When you stay on the milk, you see salvation, and that's where the focus is on. Get someone saved, get them to say this prayer, and then they're saved. But then what? There's more than just salvation in the kingdom. I'm sure you guys have heard the analogy of someone buying a mansion, and all they want to show you is they want to show it off to their friend. And their friend comes to see this huge house that they have. But the person showing them the house, they just stay at the front porch. They show them the front door. They show them the columns on the front porch. They show them the door. They show them the doorknob, the little window in it. Look how great it looks. They show them the brickwork that's on the porch. They keep going on and on about the porch and the door. The guy wanting to see the mansion asks, is there any more to the house than this? Yeah, but look at this door. Well, does it have very many bedrooms? Yeah, it's got 6 of them. Man, look at this porch. Well, what about the kitchen? Well, yeah, it's got one. But man, look at this. There's so much more than just the front door. There's more to Christianity than salvation. We have all of the kingdom of heaven available to us. God's desire is for us to grow up into maturity, recognizing how much more He has in store for us. In Hebrews 5:14 there He said, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." One of the great things about God's Word is that He shows us some of the promises that He has for us. Solid food belongs to those who are mature, those who have moved past the baby phase, no longer infants. So who is mature? Who is of full age? The second half of verse 14 there says, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we've matured, we can see, we can discern good and evil. We've learned to hear the voice of the Lord and can distinguish what lines up to Him and what doesn't. We understand how to use our senses to recognize what's going on around us. We can truly taste and see the extravagant love of God. With recognizing and knowing we have God, we can grow up and start doing more. It's like when you start getting older as a kid, you have more chores around the house. You start getting asked to take out the trash, mow the yard, clean the litter box. We start learning responsibility. We start realizing that our Father wants us to do more. We start realizing what God wants us to do. And we start doing it faithfully. Whatever God says, it goes. Because we recognize Him. We recognize Him in the relationship. We take that step of faith. This comparison of milk and solid food is recurring in the Scripture. Paul addresses the church in Corinth along the same lines. Part of this passage is likely familiar, but when you look at it in context of what he is saying, you see it more clearly. We start in 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read a little bit here. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos? But ministers through who you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed of how he builds it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation, on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Did you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. God is the one who grows us. We go through multiple phases where we may have some major growth spurts, but he is the one who grows us. Part of being mature is recognizing God versus the people that God uses. Part of being mature is recognizing how God works, seeing God's hand doing something and giving him the glory, discerning what is from God and what is not. One of the things with growing is that we all mature at different rates, but we do mature. Just like parents, as they start comparing their kids to somebody else's kids, we've got to watch out for the comparison trap. Well, I'm never going to get the walk that Jean Stiller has. I see her walk with God, but I'm just never going to get there. You may not get there in the timing that you desire, but God will take you to that point. But as you're watching her walk, and your walk is growing as well, you realize that she's continuing to grow in her relationship as well. The relationship that she had at one point, by the time you reach that, God's continued to grow. And you didn't even realize it because you were both continuing to grow with him. Bottom line, though, is God is faithful to grow us. God's the one who gives us the increase. You know, we quote so often how Paul planted and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase, and we liken it to leading people to Christ. How we plant seeds and then believe that somebody else comes along and waters them, and that it leads to salvation. But I think this passage is also talking about how it's about maturing in Christ. See, the watering still occurs after salvation. Just because a plant has sprouted out of the ground doesn't mean that it needs to stop being watered. These babies in Christ in Corinth, they still needed milk because they weren't to that maturity yet. They were bickering over some non-issues. They were not moving past the person who led them to the Lord or taught them the basics. They were associating more with the person that led them to Christ than the person of Jesus Christ. You might be thinking, well, Pastor John, that was back in the days of the early church. Yeah? Well, how many times when you're talking with somebody do you hear somebody go, oh, yeah, that person, yeah, they go to Terry Baldwin's church or Jim Howard's church. Oh, well, that, yeah, they left here and they went to Larry Pyatt's church. So often we refer to a church by who the pastor is there. That's milk right there. We have to try to grow up. Don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for Terry and Jim and Larry. They're great co-laborers in Christ. But they'll be some of the first ones to say, it's not their church, it's God's. All we're here for is to help you grow in your relationship with God. We can't have the relationship for you with Christ. Yes, we may have different gathering places. We may have different people that we gather together and do life with. But it's the same Holy Spirit in all of us. It's not about us, it's about Him. I keep saying it, but we have lost our mission when the church down the street is our competition. That's meat right there. We're called to be a body. We're supposed to have unity. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. Disputes over the lesser aren't important. Nothing says that you have to be mature to get into heaven. Salvation is a given for the believer. But we miss out on the beauty of the kingdom on earth if we don't allow God to grow us. Here's a few more verses we're looking at here comparing milk, meat, and growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, with all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now verse 1 there starts out with, therefore. And just a tip for you guys, when you see therefore in the Bible, that means you got to look at the before, what comes before it. So if you roll back to 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. That's when it would continue, therefore, and all that. See, as babes, we desire that milk. As babies, we get that milk that's central to all of our growth at the time. The milk is for us to grow, not to stay on without growing into something more. God doesn't want us to stay on the milk. He wants us to keep going. Peter tells us to lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Because that's how babies act. That's how babies do things. We're meant to grow up. We've been born again to incorruptible seed. We're meant to live and rule and reign here on earth with Jesus. God's word always satisfies. God's Word is meant for us to pursue. Sometimes it's meat, sometimes it's milk, but it's always what we need at the time. God's Word endures forever. The world may pass away, grass will wither, flowers will fall away. Just like man, we're only here for a season. But God is forever. His Word endures forever. It's all about God. We're merely vessels used for His glory. The glory of man does not last, but God's glory does. I love Ephesians chapter 4 because God keeps showing me the depth of what is in some of the verses that I have read probably 100 times, literally. Ephesians 4:11, I remember reading this many times, and it just, God's been showing me deeper and deeper things in this whole passage. If we read starting in verse 11, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect," remember that's mature, "so to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed around to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness or deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things to Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." God wants us to act and operate as a body in maturity. You ever notice how puppies sometimes are clumsy? How they've got puppy paws? They have paws that are larger than the rest of the body, and they're a bit clunky. They start knocking things out of the way. But as he grows up, he's operating a little bit more smoothly because his body's matured. He grows into the puppy paws that he had when he was younger. God's desire isn't for us to stay as babies. He doesn't want us to have kindergarten faith. He wants us to grow into the fullness of what He has planned for us. He wants us to desire the meat, not the milk. The meat takes some effort, though. It requires us chewing. But it's so much better for us. God gave us full access to His kingdom. But we have to desire to choose to walk in it. We press into the relationship that He has with us. We press into the relationship that He desires to hear from Him and carry out what He is saying. To listen for His voice and start building on what it is that He has shown us. Where's the meat, you might have asked at some point during this message? Spiritual meat is found in the relationship with Jesus. The true meat is found when we embrace the relationship that He has for us. God doesn't change, but He allows us to grow. He adds to our lives, but we have to be the ones to respond to that call. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for the meat that You have for us, God. Lord, we thank You for the desire to move on to the spiritual meat that You have for us. Lord, the milk no longer satisfies. Lord, the milk, it served its purpose for the time that it was appropriate. But Lord, you are growing us constantly. Lord, you are growing us individually. You are growing us as a body. Lord, you are growing us as your church overall as well. So Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Show us what it is that is milk in our lives. Show us what it is that is meat in front of us that you are placing there. Lord, help us desire that what is of you. Help us desire yourself as well. Lord, we release it to you. We release our faith to you, God. We release an expectation of what it is that you are showing us. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.